Hello and welcome to the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Joined this week by Muzz. Muzz, what a week in League One and League Two. This is the League One edition, but unbelievable scenes last night, wasn't it?
I'm just about sort of coming back down off the high from following all the action last night. It's going to be hard to be able to like sum this up in just one episode, really.
I know, I was trying to explain it, and I was like, but then Montrose scored, and then it was just unbelievable, because we were talking about it just before we came on, weren't we? If somebody had written it, you wouldn't have believed them. If it had been a film or something, it would have been like, oh, that would never happen, but
it's been staged.
I think you were saying, kind of, weren't you, that I think for the four teams to win, the two in League Two that needed to win, Stranraer and Elgin, as well as Airdrie and Montrose. If you added Stenhousemuir, it was something like 100-1 or something.
100-1 it was. So it would have been about, I think it was about 50s for the four of those teams that needed to win. When you think about it, it's easy to say now, but when you think about the incentive they had, it's actually pretty tasty bet.
If only somebody had stuck a fiver on it. So, as I kind of alluded to there, this week, two episodes, because we couldn't fit them, both League One and League Two, into the same one. So this is League One edition. If you like this, or if you also want to get caught up to date with everything that's happening in League Two, then be sure to check out that episode as well this week. As always, if you could like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. Because there's so much to get our teeth into, there's been no journeyman this week, but that will make a return next week. Buzz, League One, we'll start from the bottom up. Forfar, unfortunately for them. Bit the dust, it's kind of been coming, isn't it, for a couple of weeks. But obviously that's it, signed, sealed, delivered now. I know you're maybe not surprised in the last couple of weeks, but if somebody had told you that kind of 3 months ago, you probably wouldn't have believed them.
I know, I thought they were going to have enough to pull themselves away from that sort of danger zone, just with the squad they have. But I kept going back to their defence and saying that, like, if all those centre-halves they've got, with plus addition of Andy Munro, if all those centre-halves they got would get fit, then they're on a real, really, really good team on paper. But they never materialised. I don't think they've even come close. I think Anderson made some sort of cameo appearance a couple of months ago.
Thanks. So,
straight
yeah.
away again, but not seen a sniff of White and Travis all season. So I think that was kind of like the start of their problems, and then I think they tried hard with the recruitment in January, but it did again. The guys that they were turning to, like, for that experience to try and keep them up, like Grant Anderson, mm-hmm. just maybe not managed to deliver the goods in the end. But they've had a right good go of it the last few weeks, beating Peterhead and
1-2 the last five with a draw in there as well. So
that's right.
It shows signs, doesn't it? And that's probably what's influenced the board to give Gary Irvine the chance to manage them. I know he's not decided on his backroom staff yet, or he maybe has, but it's not been announced. But for me, the turning point was like the Dundee United game, where although they got beaten, they looked organised. Irvine went in at centre-half, I'm sure, from memory. And although they kicked on to an extent from there, it shows the players were buying into what he was saying, because it's easy for the players to potentially down tools, isn't it? But they've looked all right, and that'll be a good appointment for them.
Yeah, I think it's good that they go that continuity, because he carried a lot of the system in from Stuart Malcolm as well. It was quite a seamless transition, and I think that was probably quite sensible going in as a manager with little experience. You don't want to go trying too many like maverick things that could trip you up in your career right from the off. So he's kept it steady, given it a good shot, but I don't think they've been helped by the sudden burst of form Clyde hit. And Dumbarton just doggedly picking up points.
And Peterhead, Peterhead actually won as many games this season as Falkirk and Montrose.
Yeah, there you go. That's some stat.
They'll won 9.
They just haven't very well mastered the art of the draw yet. But I mean, they only narrowly missed out in playoffs. A couple of couple of fine margins, and they could have snuck in fifth. And you know, with that momentum behind them, they could have, you know, we could have been talking about Peterhead in the playoffs, that such as this league.
Yeah, and we'll come on to playoffs because I still think the Montrose success story is unbelievable. But just to kind of box off for the Irvin, a free hit this season, but pressure will be on them next season because, in my opinion, I think they'll be one of the favourites to come back marching straight back up from League Two. Obviously, it looks as though Kelty are going to be in there and maybe have a bit of money to spend. But Forfar, they'll instantly be a target of playoffs at the minimum, along with the likes of Stirling Albion and stuff. So you'll be under pressure right for that.
Yeah, I would see them as probably level pegging right now with your Stirling Albions, Elgins and Stranraer that have made the playoffs. It's all quite an even playing field. So I think that'll be a tight league again. I fancy Kelty to come right up a la Cove Rangers and possibly just go straight up and certainly be in the mix. And then you're looking at Forfar joining those other teams, slugging it out.
Yeah,
maybe among them, but maybe just we might find it's just behind them because they might just power on.
Aye, absolutely.
So they're going to be under pressure to get
they
back
could
up
do worse than take a wee look at. He could do worse than give Stevie Farrell a phone because it's Stranraer blueprint for the team that got relegated last year. They've not been far away this year.
Hanging on to some players is your first step. And I think they've signed a few guys in 2 years, like Meehan and Monroe. So
McCallum definitely in goals as well. I think he's until 2024 or something. So he'll probably be the best keeper in the league going down there. So Monroe's one of the best centre halves. We know that. So they're off to a good start with the spine of the team. And with the relegation playoffs then, so Dumbarton, obviously they've played all their games. They're sitting on 25. It's Clyde on 23 with that controversial game with these five still to be played. That will be played tonight, as this gets released tomorrow night for us. And it's maybe a wee bonus for Clyde that game actually got postponed because they now know what they need to do. See, when they played these five before all these other games got played, they maybe would have thought, oh, a draw will be fine. And they'd actually be down now if that was the case. But now they know they need to go and beat these five.
So true, because if that game had gone ahead and these five had beat them, they would have been sitting last night and they would have seen Morgan Neal go up and bullet that winner in the 90th minute and their hearts would have just sank. So to have their destiny in their own hands, I think is going to be a big incentive for them. And these five, nothing to play for. They've got that sixth place, top of the bottom pile secured already.
I was thinking that, but I think there's a wee bit needle there with what Clyde's statement said as opposed to what East Fife believed happened with that game with the call-off. And saw a couple of tweets, I think Greg Spence said maybe had a wee nibble, I think it was Clyde or somebody like that. So East Fife maybe go there with a
Denham
wee bit.
Well,
yeah, Denham. Aye, absolutely. So East Fife maybe go there with a point to prove now, whereas before they probably wouldn't have. Like, they'd still have done their job, but they maybe wouldn't have that additional motivation. So that'll be an interesting one. How do you see that going?
Well, like you say, there was obviously players were quite angered because it's unusual for them to jump on and social media so soon and vent their frustrations because it can be a bit risky doing that. But they were obviously passionate enough about it that they decided they wanted to try and get their side of the story over. And as usual, slightly too conflicting. Well, I thought it was initially too conflicting club statements, but then it emerged that the story that East Fife refused to play the game did transpire to be true, admittedly so by East Fife as well. But you can also understand why they didn't play it.
I think Young had said a few of his players, like their partners, were pregnant. Like Greg had spoke to us about when he was on the show, a couple of them are self-employed, so they didn't want to risk potential loss earnings. And they then would have missed, if they'd kind of caught anything, they then would have missed more East Fife games, so they would have lost potential bonuses and all that sort of stuff. So you can fully understand it. The one advantage for Clyde is it's at Clyde, isn't it? So, but then again, it's not that intimidating, so East Fife will probably have no kind of concerns with that. So, I think it's going to be a draw.
I didn't even answer your question about how it would go. I think Clyde could do it because it's just all to play for. If I was a betting man, I would probably side with, given last night as well, I'd probably side with the team that have it all to play for and that are going to just go for it. But I think there'll be a needle in it. And again, if I was a betting man, I'd be putting some cards in there as well, probably.
Aye, McVick, if you're watching, I think it's going to be a draw, you know. I can see it being a draw. Goodwill is back for Clyde, isn't he? A couple of games under his belt now, and so that's going to help them. But like I say, I just think he's Fife. They're obviously a better team based on the league thus far. With a point to prove, I think they could do it. It's going to be interesting, and that would then mean Dumbarton or Clyde, they play fourth in League Two, don't they? So pressure's on. Pressure's on. I've got a bit of a soft spot for Dumbarton. I don't know why. I think because against the odds, aren't they? They're always underdogs, like scraping a squad together, no goalie on the bench, two outfield players on the bench. Like, I feel for them a little bit. So I'd like to see them still.
They've always just like played within their means and played honest and can play a bit of football as well, by the way. And just like, they just seem like a good squad of guys as well. I like you say, they're just an offensive team. And I kind of respect Jim Duffy's, again, talking about working with minimum tools and getting a maximum return from it. He's kind of mastered that, and he did it well at Morton as well. But if they get dragged into it, they've got a really tough to call duel against Stranraer. I would find that harder to call than Clyde Stranraer, if you know what I mean. I reckon Stranraer would maybe take Clyde over the two legs, but Dumbarton Stranraer is going to be a tougher one to call.
Well, we await that with interest. That, like I say, that's tonight, as this is released tomorrow night for us. I think the playoffs, do they start Saturday, don't they?
Saturday, yeah.
Is that right? So the League Two teams only find out on Thursday, they're playing Saturday, is that right? Eh? Jeez.
I think it must be, yeah.
Blimey. So top half then, where it all happened. Unbelievable scenes. Partick that signed, sealed, delivered, obviously going into it. Falkirk obviously went in on 32 points, and Montrose had 30. So I'd put it up on the Twitter yesterday, like the potential outcomes were an absolute disgrace. My head was spinning trying to actually figure out who could have done what, because potentially Falkirk could have leapfrogged Airdrie, I think, like I say, if they'd won by three clear goals or something like that. So and you feel a wee bit for Paul Hartley, who just kind of sat being unable to affect anything, just watching Cove like float up and down the live league table.
Aye, yeah, without being able to influence it, yeah. I think there was like so many combinations, so many potential. I think Cove, the least they could drop to was just third.
Just third, yeah.
And you know, it was going to be Airdrie or Cove, second or third. And I think Airdrie had nothing to lose, but they had second place to go for. So
again, yeah.
I think hence why that game was a bit sticky for most of that game. I don't think Falkirk registered a shot on target. I might be wrong. They mustered up a couple of efforts at goal the second half, but I don't think they hit the target at all. But Airdrie didn't have too many chances in the first half.
They didn't have a shot on target in the whole game, Falkirk. You're right. Not one shot on target.
Right. And Airdrie had a few. We put together a few moves and came a bit closer, but I didn't see anyone scoring. So the late goal was just. It kind of summed up Falkirk's season and how they've been playing recently. Same in Montrose, it's just a capitulation towards the end of each game. And I mean, talk about just shit in the bed. Excuse my language, and I'm sure the Falkirk fans would probably agree. But, I mean, eight points clear. I mean, they don't need to know, but it's eight points clear. They were about, you know, you're talking a month or two ago.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I think
we
tweeted last night the results since they got rid of McCracken and Miller. I think it was Peterhead away was their last game, wasn't it? I think they got beat 1-0 up in Peterhead.
That's right.
12 days after they got manager of the month, obviously they sacked them. Since then, two each draw with Cove, 5-0 defeat, 2-1 defeat, and a 2-0 defeat. I know you saw the full game last night. I've just kind of seen highlights of Falkirk over the last couple, the Partick game last night, but the defending's absolute farcical, isn't it? Like, there's boys on there that are either injured and they're having to play because they're injured, or they're just not trying, like, based on what you're seeing. It's one of the two, surely.
Yeah, I mean, I was at Montrose and they're starting two teenagers at centre-half.
I cannot believe that, aye.
it just gave them that soft underbelly. Don't get me wrong, there's promising sides to the game. Nielsen's only 17 and McClellan's 19. So I'm not, I'm not saying they're not young players with no potential, but to at such a crunch time of the season against teams with experienced players, it's really, you're really kind of starting on the back foot a bit when you're
I know injuries dictated it, right? But looking at that team that played Montrose, for example, could they not even have gone to a free and just plonked like Sean Kelly in the middle of them? Like, Kelly's been about the block. He's played in England. He's played Premier League. Can you tuck him in at centre-half as a two, or can you put him in the middle of the young boys and kind of rearrange elsewhere? Like, there should be, surely there's ways you can counteract that.
Yeah, and you've got Gary Miller, you know, as well, utility player who can fill in at the back. I would be looking to count on these kind of guys at this stage of the season, especially when you only needed a handful of points to solidify your.
If they joined with Montrose, you pretty much would have been there, wouldn't they?
By the way, they were a wee bit unlucky, I have to say, because Sean Kelly put in a free kick in the last kick of the game. And to this moment, I don't know what it was ruled out for.
Somebody else was saying that I was speaking.
I haven't been able to find out what
was
that
it
was
a
Falkirk
player in the wall or something, which you're not allowed to do. That's all they could think of, was that a Falkirk player maybe backed in and disrupted the wall, but
I could think of is if that Falkirk player in about the wall's thrown a hand up, is the only other thing I can think of. There's been some kind of handball, but I remember like the Montrose bench, like kind of warmly applauding the Lino, as if not like, oh, thanks, mate, cheers, but as if like, what a, you know, great spot. So, but that's not that didn't seem to really register with the fans at all. They'd given up hope, and they were almost. I got the impression from the fans is they were almost wishing this so that they could clear out, you know. That's their justification to just get.
Saw a few comments on Twitter before the Airdrie game even, and you don't know if it's tongue in cheek, but you know they're saying it wouldn't be the worst if Airdrie beat us, like that way the season's over, we can empty who we need to empty and kind of build. From scratch. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure they would have loved to have scrambled up through the playoffs, but there's a bit of apathy, isn't there? They're a wee bit kind of fed up almost.
Definitely, they think the players have chucked it, so. They think we're going to chuck it as well, and I know what you mean. I'm not saying that they would obviously they would rather be in the playoffs and try and get up, but it's almost like that acceptance that this is the reason we need to get this overhaul that we desperately think.
Not helped by Queen's Park fans posting Ray McKinnon's smug face with the League Two title all over the Falkirk Twitter as well. Every time you click on it, the response is that picture of Ray McKinnon.
Falkirk were fair game last night. Every club was chipping in with something. You felt for them a wee bit. But
just looking at the team that obviously played there last night, we spoke obviously they were young at centre-half, although Dornan played last night, albeit. But they've still got the likes of Connor Salmon, Blair Alston, Gary Miller, Gomez, Dornan, who was potentially half-fit from what I've heard, and Kelly. So there's six boys. That's more than half of the squad. With experienced players. And even on the other hand, Airdrie had boys like Connell, who's not the most experienced. Dean Ritchie hasn't played that many games. So I don't know if they can rely on the experience issue. And I just don't understand how a full-time team can fall away so much. Like, you can understand some of the part-time teams hitting the rails, but they're full-time. It should have been an advantage to them playing four games in a week.
The comparison to Airdrie is quite stark. It is quite a good one because Airdrie are just radiating like team spirit and like endeavour, form. You know, playing good football, playing positive football.
How are Airdrie shaping up? Are they, because their form's unbelievable? Are they going with the same 11 week in week out, or is Murray rotating? Because I saw Crichton didn't play last night. So how's Murray kind of approaching it?
Crichton's injured. But Josh Kerr came in and did such a good job.
Just back from injury as well himself, isn't he? Kerr.
That's right. Yeah, just back from an operation. So, I think that's been part of the reason behind the form is maybe maintaining that core team, because if you look at the bench, if you look back over the last 6-7 games and you look at that bench, you've got guys like Robert on the bench,
Roy
Stokes,
Sabatini, Carrick,
Roy. Aye. So it's like, and they're, and it's not that they're not on the bench because they're not playing well or they're not good players. They're on the bench because everyone's on form. And see, that changed the game last night, being able to bring on, he even brought on Payet, who got injured, taken straight off, and was able to just bring on Carrick.
I saw
that. And guys, you know, game changers, Robert coming off the bench and things like that. And all that, Thompson, who actually got the goal to go 1-0 up. So they're just, Falkirk, then you look at Falkirk's squad, a few injuries, but again, a wee bit lack of strength in the bench, lack of, I was going to say game changers, but you've got Dowd and Keane there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been part of the issue, and certainly for the fans. Aye, Leach as well, but they seem to be persisting with one striker, with one out and out striker, and Fothering just off as maybe a second striker in a 4-4-2 or a
mm-hmm.
or a advanced midfielder in a 4-2-3-1 sort of thing. But the fans have been screaming out for, you know, when push comes to shove and they need to win, why they've just been persisting with one out and out striker. Introducing likes of Dowds and Keane sort of too late to games and things like that. So.
Big decision for them management wise, isn't it? I saw Holt had said they hoped to have a shortlist to the board by the 14th, which is what, a week on Friday, which, well, but interestingly, they've titled it head coach, haven't they? They've not put out manager, so you wonder what that means. Does that mean Holt is having a say in the transfers and stuff, or is it just literally the wording they've just called it head coach, or is it, are managers going to be reluctant to go in there with Holt still there? You know, it's going to be an interesting one to see who applies. I know that I've heard the likes of Stuart Kettlewell and things maybe potentially interested, like younger type managers, but would that put off maybe some more experienced managers, do you think?
Potentially, yeah, definitely. I know some people are open to with that way of working and some people aren't. And and like you're saying, Falkirk will have an idea in their mind, but doing that kind of thing, giving it that different title, does cause a bit of ambiguity. And the last thing the players need is just an unsettled backroom and staff coming and going and directions from different people and one person telling this, one person telling them that. So you fear for them, you honestly do. And it'll be interesting. It's going to come down to getting the right person in. Not only that, that person or those people getting the right players in and then getting a system and getting them playing for you. It's like a lot of work to do over the summer, isn't it?
It's going to be, I'd argue that the league next year could potentially be harder than it was this year. Like Queen's Park coming up now with the money they've got are going to have a right fist at it. Say Airdrie get up, you know, we know Alloa are coming down. They're decent at that level. And that would then mean Morton come down as well. Yeah. So you could arguably have like Falkirk, Morton, Alloa, Cove might still be there, Queen's Park, like still Montrose, East Fife. So there's no guarantee they get up next year.
Isn't it?
And kudos to Montrose. We know Partick, maybe their team wasn't as strong as it could have been last night. The likes of Tiffin on the bench, Rudden on the bench, a couple of young boys actually came on and made their debut, I think, Owens and things. But they got the job done, Montrose.
Yeah, they did. And like you say, I don't think, like,
if Partick needed to win that game, it would have been a different team, wouldn't it?
I think
so. But they earned the right to change it. Nobody can comment on that.
Yeah. And it's still not a bad team, Partick.
Lions, MacIver, Cardle, Gordon, Penrith, aye.
The evidence as well that they've given that game 100% is the fact it finished 3-2. They weren't playing like the old Montrose anything. They had any other agenda. They were just playing that game to the best of their ability. I don't think I doubt that. And I don't think McCall would allow for anything else. But Montrose just doing it when it matters. I think they've been deserving of that, to be honest.
The last couple of years, I think, because if it had not been for COVID, I think they'd have been in the playoffs last year as well, wouldn't they? But they were in the year before that as well, I'm sure. So for their consistency, more than deserved.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'd tipped Partick to go up, and obviously they have. It'd be interesting to see how they settle into the Championship next season. got to be aiming for that kind of mid-table top half, for the same, maybe what our bro Queen of South did this year.
Yeah, I think so. They've still got, they're a big club, full-time. They've still got pulling power. They've got pulling power for players in League One, so I think they'll only strengthen. And
big for them will be the likes of Tiffany. Does that, what happens there, who obviously came in and almost, not single-handedly, but him and Rudden basically fired them up, didn't they, between the two of them? So, Montrose, how do you see them going in against Morton? Because I know you saw Morton not too long ago. Is it step too far? Well,
I think, well, Morton's issue right now is scoring goals. I mean, I was at the Arbroath game, and I mean, that was one of the worst games in of football and I can remember, and I've seen some games. So, but don't get me wrong, there's a lot at stake. It's just the ball was like a hot potato. Whereas Montrose can, they're sort of like up and at you kind of team, and play decent football. They've got a few good attacking options.
It's funny to see
experienced defence. It's like looking like just the way things are balanced. I'm looking at that and I'm going into it thinking that's quite an even fixture at the moment. You know what I mean?
When I was thinking about it, it's funny saying the Championship pitch might not suit the League One side because Montrose will not be able to go to Morton and pass the ball on that surface, man.
Aye, true. But they're like, they can adapt to all sorts of environments, Montrose. They're a very like robust and resilient team and can mix it physically and they've just got a little sprinkling of everything, really, you know.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of rounds up what happened last night. Let's say the main excitement remaining pre-playoffs is that Clyde East Fife game tonight / tomorrow night, depending on when you're listening or watching to this. So what we'll do is we'll come back after probably the first leg of the playoffs, but best of luck to all the teams in there. If I had to put you on the spot, Montrose and Morton, what do you think? Just after the first leg, which will be at Montrose, won't it?
Yeah, just for the first leg game.
Yeah.
You wanted my prediction? Or you wanted my prediction for who goes up and who comes down?
Well, tell me who goes up and who goes down, actually.
Well, the way I think it's going to pan out, Airdrie to nudge Cove out, and I think Montrose are going to do it. I think they're going to take more, and then I think we're going to look at Airdrie Montrose playoff final. And
I don't want to get your prediction for that because we'll be back before the finals played. But that's who you see progressing through the two ties. I think I'm back in a fancy Airdrie, just the form of being on their absolute flying. I can just see Morton just shit fest on their way through, to be honest. Like I can see Gary Oliver or somebody poking one in. And then I can just see them shutting down Montrose like at home at Morton. I just think the pitch isn't going to help Montrose. Morton are physical, aren't they? I know Montrose can handle it, but Morton, like, they play McGinney at left back, it's basically four centre halves, isn't it? They play plus Jacobs in the middle, who can mix it. So I think in games like that, I think they could just kind of scrap out a result when they need it. So there we have it, League One. Unbelievable, honestly.
Best league in Europe.
Well, the most exciting one we've been trademarking, haven't we? So that'll continue to carry that on. So like I said, this week, check out League 2 one, especially if you're a Dumbarton or Clyde fan and you want to see who potentially hear a wee bit about who you could be facing in the playoffs to come up / down. Best of luck, like I say, to all the teams in the playoffs. We'll be back next week before the finals to kind of assess and review what's happened. Thanks very much for watching. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. See you next week. Cheers.
Thank you.